engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read, and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas, you know, is God in the flesh. And we continue to celebrate Christmas all this week. God become flesh, the eternal Spirit become visible in time, visible in a manger, remaining visible, of course, through his life and his teaching and preaching, but God concretely in the flesh. And that's why in these readings this week from the first letter of John, what the church is doing for us is putting love in the flesh. This idea of loving God and loving one another, often it's too spiritual, if that makes sense, too vague, too misty, out there, cloudy. Instead of making very concrete demands on us in the flesh, in the here and now, in our concrete activities and decisions, love is very specific, just like God became very specific at Christmas. You see, it's joyful and it's wondrous and it's cause for celebration that we welcome this astonishing fact of the Word made flesh, God become a child. But for a lot of people, it's also too specific, and that makes it too uncomfortable. They want to be able to, you know, assign religious language and religious motives and faith in God to whatever it is that they want to do, but they're really calling the shots. And they sort of fashion God in their own image. You know, oh, well, you know, here's what I believe, here's what I think it's right, and I'll sort of just, you know, put the label of God and faith on it. I'll do whatever I want to do, and I'll say I'm a devout Catholic anyway, follower of Christ anyhow. Christmas makes God and Christ and love and morality very concrete and very specific, so that you can't wiggle out of them. No one, John says here, can love the God that he does not see without loving the brothers and sisters he does see. And that brings us, doesn't it, right to the heart of the church's pro-life commitment? Because we do see the child in the womb. We see that baby. And there are those who claim to love God and think it's okay that they don't defend the baby. Well, how do you love the baby if you don't defend the baby, when the baby's life is going to be taken by abortion that's going to chop that baby apart? Or what about babies that survive abortion, because sometimes they do in these later procedures, and they're out there outside the mother's body on a table, gasping for air, needing medical attention? Do we love that baby if we just turn the other way and don't lift a hand to save them? Is that love? Now, some people will argue, is it right? Is it wrong? Should it be legal? Should it be illegal? All we're asking here is that love? Is it love for that child to just leave the child on the table, let the child die? Is it love for a child to tear his arm off, to cut her leg off, to crush her skull while she's still alive in the womb? Is that love? Or is that completely incompatible with love? Does Christmas require that we protect these babies? Because if it doesn't, wow, whew, we're off the hook. We can do whatever we think is right and good, claim at the same time to be lovers of God and followers of Christ and faithful Catholics or whatever name we want to give ourselves. And we don't feel obliged to show concrete love to that baby. And this is a challenge to everybody who is quote unquote pro-choice on abortion, and in particular to those people who have been elected to public office, claim to be believers in God, claim to love God, claim to be Christians, claim to be Catholics, and they literally turn the other way when it comes to violence against these babies. Well, if anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. We have a certain pastor in Georgia who recently, just the other day, got elected to the Senate. Claims to love God because, after all, he's a pastor. If anyone says, I love God but hates his brother, he is a liar. Where are the arms and legs there, Pastor Warnock? Where are the arms and legs of that got cut off of those babies, those brothers and sisters of yours and of mine? Do you love them? Do you love them? What about Mr. Biden, the man who has been fraudulently elected to the presidency, fraudulently, unconstitutionally, and illegally certified as president-elect? He's not president-elect because he lost the election. But some people want to run merrily down the path of saying, oh yes, this is the will of the people. That's garbage. The man is not legitimately elected to the presidency. But there's a deeper problem. By the way, let me just pause there for a moment. Why are some religious leaders condemning violence done yesterday in the Capitol, but not condemning the violence that was done against the election? Why are they condemning the breaking of windows, but not the shredding of ballots? That I don't understand. If they're really concerned about people's rights, integrity, honesty, sure, it's inappropriate to go forcing your way into the U.S. Capitol, disrupting a proceedings and breaking windows. And of course, that's inappropriate behavior and should be rejected. But tearing up ballots or running them through machines multiple times or creating them out of thin air, that's equally inappropriate. And that's violence, too. And I just don't understand why some religious leaders are now getting all up in arms about what happened yesterday in Washington, and it's like they've been sleepwalking through an entire fraudulent election. If any of you can explain that to me, please, I'm all ears. But to me, it's just blatant hypocrisy. And it's contrary to the Word of God. Love has a meaning. Love has a content. And so, Mr. Biden, you who think that you're the president-elect, but you're deceived, you say you love God, and yet you're heading up a party that does not lift a finger to stop the violence that is taking more lives than anything else on the planet, including the China virus, and you can't even say the word right. And you try to make yourselves out to be such heroes, you know, oh, we're going to save people from the virus. You know, give me a break. You want to come off as, oh, so concerned about saving human life, while we have the biggest Holocaust in human history, Mr. Biden, the biggest Holocaust in human history, supporters of the Democrats, I'm talking to you, and your corrupt party isn't lifting a finger to do anything about it. You don't even talk. You can't even say that you want to protect these babies. They're being killed. More lives being taken by abortion than anything else. Oh, but you love God. Oh, yeah. Biden, oh, yeah, I am a devout Catholic. It's garbage. If anyone says, I love God but hates his brother, he is a liar. Whoever does not love a brother whom he has seen, have you never seen these babies in the womb on ultrasound? Do you not see the babies that are born alive and they're lying on the table? The Democrats don't even want to protect them. Look it up. There have been efforts in the Congress for years now to protect babies who are outside the womb. And it's the Democrats that are saying, no, 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 no. Shame on them. And there are people who are more concerned that we get angry at this. They're more concerned about the anger than about the murder. This is sick. But anyone who does not love a brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So please spare us the hypocrisy, spare us the virtue signaling and all the other garbage that we've had to listen to for so many years. Brothers and sisters, this is the opportunity as you and I welcome the child who became flesh, the God who became visible, as you and I celebrate love become visible at Christmas, as you and I commit ourselves to loving all our brothers and sisters whom we see precisely because we love the God that we cannot see, let's understand that this is not only a commitment for us to live. This is a gospel for us to proclaim. This is not just a truth we accept. This is a truth we must proclaim to power. Speak truth to power. Speak it more loud and clear than you've ever done before. Let's speak it together. Let's bear witness as the apostles and saints and martyrs have done throughout the millennia to the God whose love became visible in Christ and becomes visible in these babies. God bless your commitment and mine to this glorious gospel of Christmas, of love, and of salvation. In Jesus Christ, our God made visible. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.